Across ABC Radio, this is Serene Damaki.
Now, I want you to imagine a skateboard, but reduced in size to Lilliputian proportions. And instead of riding them with your feet, you use your fingers. They're called fingerboards. And yes, they're a real thing. Look, I don't know. I could be living under a rock. I don't know. I haven't heard of them before until yesterday, actually. It's a very popular pursuit overseas, especially in Germany, apparently. And they're also quite popular in Australia, with the COVID lockdowns giving the sport a bit of a fillip. There's two young tradies in Margaret River in southwestern Australia. Run a firm called, yes, Margaret River Fingerboards. And Tyler Stevens and Michael Ward join me now. How are you both doing?
Yeah, we're good. Thank you.
Doing well, thanks.
Excellent. So just describe a fingerboard and how you ride it, if that's what you do. Can I say, do you ride a fingerboard? What do you say?
Yeah, that's it. You ride a fingerboard. It's basically imitating real skating with your fingers on a miniature board, trying to do the same tricks you do on a skateboard, just on your table.
Cool. When we were off air and we're having a bit of a chat, I mentioned how I never had heard of fingerboarding before until I came across the article in the ABC, and it had a video in it as well. And I was having a look at the video and having a look at just how it all works. And I immediately brought my 7-year-old daughter in because I'm like, you have to see this. And she has a look. And first of all, she said, what is that? I go, they're like mini skateboards and you use your finger to ride them. And she's watching, actually, I think it may have been you, Michael, on like a little ramp and you're sort of flipping it and it's jumping up. And she's like, oh, that looks easy. It's with your fingers. That just looks so easy. And I went, I'm not too sure about that, Alyssa. It looks easy, but it might not be as easy as it looks. Is she right or am I right?
It's definitely a lot harder than it looks.
Great. I'm going to go back with that.
Yeah. It really is. It's really similar to skateboarding in a lot of ways. And you see that same progression as you put the effort in and practice. So, yeah, it's definitely harder than it looks.
And who fingerboards? Is it kids, teens? Well, you're
it's kids of all ages. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
So it is something. If you've kind of got an interest in it, because you have piqued her interest, do they have proper wheel assemblies like good skateboards?
Yeah. There's two kind of ranges. There's like your entry level kind of fingerboards, which would be like your Tech Deck brand, which is more of a toy.
Yep.
And they come with just, you know, wheels that screw on. But with the fingerboards we make, we supply bearing wheels, so they're pretty much exactly like skateboard wheels.
I loved, because in this video, again, that I was watching, there's a bit of a snippet in how it's made, and I love watching, you know, you're sanding it down. And so is there a bit, there's a bit of beauty in even making them. And I don't know about you, but I just love all things mini. I love mini cupcakes. I love mini, anything that's mini and it's, you know, it's once large and it's been reduced down to size. I think that's probably why Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah,
but I love things that are just mini. Is that an attraction?
It is, you know, it's like a cute little niche.
There's definitely like, there's a real creative side to it too, because I like having a bit of fun with woodworking and that sort of thing. And yeah, there's definitely an artistic side to it all.
I also think one of the main things most fingerboard makers will say is that it'll take a good 100 boards before you make a good fingerboard.
Wow.
There's definitely tricks to making a fingerboard work properly.
Oh, yes. So quality is definitely something to consider if you're going to purchase or if you're going to give this a go. Do you both make the boards?
Yeah, we do. Yep. So we've got three molds at the moment. So, and yeah, it takes 24 hours to press a board.
Wow. Okay.
And we do it all with Aussie veneer, so Australian wood. And then you sand it into shape. And, to finish it off with a bit of spray paint and clear coat, that sort of thing.
Yep, and you've got, I can see, we're zooming, obviously, so I'm getting a visual. I'm fortunate to get a bit of a visual in our conversation. I can see behind you. Have you got some of your boards on the back wall back there?
Yep, that's some of our stock there, yep.
Awesome, and I can't make out some of the artwork on the front, but that must be fun. What kind of artwork do you play with in terms of making the boards?
Well, at first, when we kind of started selling the boards maybe about a year ago, the main idea we wanted was to get local artists to help us put art on the boards and then give the artists some recognition.
Mm.
But at first, you know, it's kind of hard because, you know, with fingerboarding, nobody really takes it seriously at the moment. So it was hard to ask real good-known artists to kind of supply art for us when, you know, they have no idea what fingerboarding's about.
Okay.
So we paid a bunch of artists online to supply us with a few, and some of us in the company made a few designs as well. So
I'll keep at it because I can see, again, this, like, it'll become a collectible. It'll become like pop vinyls. So you'll start to have to venture. You'll have to do themed ones, get into, like, the Marvel Universe, get into the I've got dreams.
We do too. Yeah, you're delving into some of our future plans already.
Excellent. Yeah. Fantastic, guys. So when did fingerboarding start as a sport?
Well, it's been around since the early 60s as a bit of a novelty, you know, when skateboarding first kind of started getting popular. But there was like a professional skater by the name of Lance Mountain who was widely credited for making fingerboarding really popular in the mid-80s.
Right. Do you need specialist areas to play at, I don't know, like a mini skate park? If one wants to start, or they can just do makeshift stuff at home to give it a go?
That's one of the good things about it, because if you've got a bench, even your desk at school, I'm sure the teachers won't like that, but you can you can learn any flat ground trick anywhere, really, sitting at the table. It's great. It's almost like a fidget spinner, that sort of thing.
Ah, yes.
If you've got busy hands, you're progressing and learning new tricks. It's pretty good fun.
If you've just joined us, you're with me, Serene Damacki, on ABC Radio's National Weekend Evenings. I am speaking with Tyler Stevens and Michael Ward. We're talking about fingerboarding. And fingerboarding is basically like skateboarding, except the skateboards are mini and you use your fingers. Is that pretty much the way to describe it, Tyler and Michael?
Yeah, definitely.
So how did the two of you get into it?
Well, we've been friends for a long time, and basically every summer, you know, after work, we'd sit in the sun and kind of play acoustic guitar and let our kids play outside and just kind of hang out in the sun. And then my son came out with a very cheap plastic fingerboard he got out of a show bag. And then we just sat around the table for fun and tried to do tricks. This was a good 5-6 years ago. And we kind of just fell in love with trying to do tricks on them. So we eventually progressed to like a Tech Dex, which is a very popular toy. And then when we weren't getting what we needed out of that, we started pursuing wooden fingerboards, which is what most of the, I'll say, professional fingerboarders use.
The professional kids.
Yeah. That, you know, we did a bit of research and we discovered there was a massive underground community of fingerboarders that take it very seriously. So, it all started from just a little plastic toy and having a bit of a laugh.
Oh, cool. I wonder if that that one in the show bag, I don't think it was intended for that, right? Wasn't it just something that would have just been in a show bag?
Yeah, it was just a little plastic toy.
That's it.
Yeah, just something to fill up a show bag.
Yeah.
And they kind of inspired us. And I was right into skateboarding as a kid, but now with having children at home and a full-time job, you just can't afford to be breaking arms and ankles and things like that skateboarding on the weekend. So this is a cool way to still be involved in the skate culture. So
and that's another thing, because we both have kids, like it was something to do on the side that, you know, our kids were interested in.
They're into it too.
Yeah, they love fingerboarding.
So you were saying that you found this underground world and people are pretty serious about it, and there's pros. So are there competitions? Do you compete?
There are, for sure.
There's definitely competitions in, like you say, Germany and USA. USA are putting on a competition within the next week or so. I don't know the dates, but there's competitions going on around the world, and it's only just starting to spark in Australia to get to that point. So we're doing our best to try and help make fingerboarding popular here.
Yeah, yeah. And you two have day jobs, right? Like, Tyler, you're an electrician. Michael, you're a baker.
Yep, that's right.
Yep, that's right. I was baking, but I look after my kids now. My wife does a bit of work,
so in the dream now.
Yep.
And why have both of you decided to go into this as a business?
Purely passion and love for it. We fell in love with it, you know. That's about it, honestly.
And it's like I was saying before, it's kind of a creative outlet. And when you're doing the 9-to-5 and you got the kids, it's nice to, like, we both play music. I'm a drummer and Mike's a guitarist. So that's another outlet for us personally, away from the family. You have those separate things that you like to do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is just another silly, fun thing that we both really like. So
I guess we saw a lot of potential and opportunity to do something that wasn't really being done in Australia to a big scale yet too. So, and you know, I remember people telling me years ago, if you want to try and make money out of something or, you know, do something, it's better to kind of do something that hasn't really been done yet.
And like you said, because you really enjoy it. You love it. You enjoy it and you want to keep putting it out there.
That comes through. I think anyone doing anything, if you put everything into it and you love it and you're having fun, it doesn't matter if people are laughing.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep at it.
Don't worry. I think we laugh at ourselves quite a lot.
For sure.
If you had asked us 5 years ago that we'd be in a fingerboard company now, we would have laughed.
Yeah. So five years ago, so are you the only business in Australia that work in this? How many do you know that operate in Australia?
It's hard to count because there's a few that have sort of pretty cemented in the industry, and then there's a lot of sort of backyard, probably where we started, and so it's hard to say, but there's dedicated fingerboard shops over east. There's three that I know of that just sell fingerboard equipment and stuff like that. So
there's
they're around.
There's one shop called Radical, and they do a good job of sourcing fingerboarders from craftsmen and selling them for them. So Radical is a great spot to check out. Radical Fingerboards. It's an Australian company.
Yeah. And what about your own? You're online. People can check you out online.
Yeah, definitely. We've got. We just had a new store go up recently. So it's Margaret River Fingerboards, and we're on Instagram and Facebook and all that crazy stuff. So
come check us out on Facebook and Instagram, and all of our links to our shops are on there, and all the content. You can check out what fingerboarding is all about.
Cool. So if someone wanted to start out, what would be the first? So obviously get a fingerboard. And what would be the first? I go, are there simple moves someone can try out? And the reason why I'm asking is because, A, I know my daughter's going to ask me this.
Yeah.
And because she did ask me this about breakdancing. So we had kind of, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know which moves you start with when it comes to breakdancing and to do it safely as well. So, if someone was starting out, A, get a fingerboard, and B, what can they start out doing?
I think the best thing you can do is to not go into it kind of like learning guitar or learning an instrument. Don't go into it thinking you're going to be able to do everything straight away. That's for sure.
Yeah, try telling that to a seven-year-old, Michael.
My best advice is to put get an obstacle that you can try and practice jumping over, just ollieing over. If you can kind of practice getting your ollies right, it all progresses from that ollie.
It really does have a lot of similarities with skateboarding. So, like, the first time you jump on a skateboard, obviously you got to figure out your balance and tic-tacking and things like that and how to roll around. That's a little simpler when you jump on with your fingers. But, definitely the ollie is the first. That's you. Once you get that, you can ollie up things. Over things, and all the tricks sort of come from that.
In fingerboarding, your ollie is the gateway to learning other tricks, that's
for
sure.
So the ollie is where you spin it up. Hang on, what's an ollie?
Ollie is just jumping with your board attached to your fingers, basically.
Okay, all right. Jumping with your board attached to your fingers. Okay, that's the one. That's the one to practice first. So do you see this taking off in Australia? Because it's popular in Europe and the US, right?
Well, look, it's slowly getting more popular, that's for sure. Like, I've been on Facebook looking up fingerboard groups overseas for, like, years now, and I've noticed Australian groups popping up. I think we even started an Australian fingerboard group on Facebook. And it's definitely starting to peak. There's a lot of interest in it, especially over east at the moment.
Cool.
It seems to be kind of like all hobbies and fads sort of go in waves, so maybe we're sort of riding the wave of a bit of a resurgence with fingerboards and tech decks, and maybe it'll dip out, but our plan is to sort of cement ourselves in the industry and hopefully be around when the next rise happens. So
great. Michael, Tyler, honestly, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Like I said, I'm already tapping in to your dreams and vision and the empire that will be. Just remember that, why you set out to do this in the beginning is that you just absolutely love it and you've got to put it out there into the world. So with you the way.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries. Good on you both. Tyler Stevens, Michael Ward of Margaret River Fingerboards. All right, I'm going to have to go and get Alyssa one then, my seven-year-old, and we will start with practicing the ollie, although immediately I can imagine her just saying, I know how to do this, and then she'll get frustrated and then she won't talk to me. But it's all good.
Serene Damaki on Weekend Evenings.